You are now listening to the Hack My Age podcast, the show that brings you guests for the woman going through the menopause journey. I'm your host, Zora Benamou, a gerontologist, certified sports nutrition, menopause, and breathing coach. I'm the author of The Longevity Master Plan and the cookbook Eating for Longevity. And if you're a woman in perimenopause or postmenopause, check out the programs on the hackmyage.com website to biohack and optimize your menopause experience, because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So now please head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review to help others find us too. This is a really important point because it costs nothing, but makes a huge impact for me to support a podcast from menopausal women to normalize this conversation about menopause and attract even more amazing guests to the show for you and for me. You can now watch all of our podcast interviews on the Hack My Age YouTube channel. Some of our guests bring slideshows, so it's really great to have. Every week, there is a new video, so just search Hack My Age on YouTube.com or find the link on the Hack My Age website. Hello, age disruptors. Today, I'm recording this podcast with a live studio audience. All of you attending this recording now are members of the Hack My Age VIP program. And part of being in this exclusive club is the ability to dial in and watch the interviews as they are recorded. And you can ask your own questions. If you want to be a part of this amazing community, go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/hackmyage and sign up not only for these cool interviews, but so much more. Today's podcast is sponsored by the Institute of Bioidentical Medicine, which is the authority when it comes to understanding bioidentical hormones. And right now, I am in the middle of taking their menopause method course, and I am so impressed. This is a self-paced course designed by Dr. David Rosensweet, who's been treating women going through menopause for nearly 3 decades. I can highly recommend this program, particularly if you are a doctor or someone who's actually prescribing hormones to women for menopause. And if you're not, that's okay. Make an appointment at iobim.org to find out more about the program to see if you're a candidate for the menopause method. And ask for a discount with the code ZORA, Z-O-R-A. And if you're just looking for a qualified doctor who's highly trained in menopause medicine, check out their sister site, brite.live. Empower yourself with information and a doctor that you can trust, because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional.
So I rarely have guests come on for a round two, but there was no way I could not invite Celine Yeager on again for a third time to talk about how to decipher some of the messages we hear about menopause and hormones from the podcasts we listen to and the books we read, reels on Instagram, and all that noise that's accumulating out there so that we can figure out what applies to us and what doesn't. And Celine is leading the way for so many of us women who are older and active. And she's the host of one of my absolutely favorite podcasts, Hit Play, Not Pause, which hopefully all of you are following by now. And if not, it'll be in the show notes. And she's also the content manager at Feisty Menopause and a best-selling professional health and fitness writer, including co-authoring Roar and Next Level with Dr. Stacey Sim. So go and read those too. And I'll have links to all of these really important resources in our past podcast episodes that we recorded together in the show notes. Now, Celine, you know, she really lives what she writes. She's a certified personal trainer with the National Academy of Sports Medicine. She's precision nutrition certified in nutrition, and she's a certified menopause coach, off-road racer, and former All-American Ironman triathlete. So she's athletic, she's smart, she's in menopause, and she's totally badass. So now, without further ado, let's meet Celine Yeager. Welcome.
Thank you for that. I'm always humbled by those introductions. Thank you.
Oh, so listen, I'm really glad you accepted to jump into this like emergency podcast with me to cover a really important topic. And I was so anxious to talk to everyone about this and bring it to them that I broke my one interview a week rule to get this in, because he was so important. And so like everyone who's listening now and like me, you hear a lot of conflicting information from the guests that you interview on your podcasts. And you also do a lot of research that you dive into for the amazing blog articles that you write. And you go to social media and your community that you have. And we hear things like, hey, everyone should be on hormones, or no, hormones are dangerous. And it really is so confusing. So I want to share with our listeners a few insights and some tools and tips that she can use to navigate through all this noise and just try to figure out what's best for her. So I don't know. Do you agree that this is totally a problem and an issue with peri- and postmenopausal women?
Yeah, I think about it literally almost every waking moment. I mean, some days I feel like I do. And I actually really find it very distressing, if I'm truly honest, because women are up against so much right now. You know, though hormone therapy has certainly become much more accessible and the word is getting out that it is broadly, largely safe, you know, plenty of women with a lot of symptomology still go to their healthcare providers and are told no. Like, I hear that every single day. Like, you're too young, it's too dangerous, like all this stuff that I'm like, you know, we spend so much time talking about it. I'm like, how have they not heard this message? You know, that the W, like, how is this still happening? So like, but so that's a legit true problem. But on the other hand, there's this like strong, steady, growing drumbeat that you are doing yourself a giant disservice. I mean, I've heard women doctors say, your body, your choice, but if you're not on hormones, like I've heard that said, that, you know, that if you don't take them, you know, you'll get dementia, you'll get heart disease, your bones will turn to dust. I mean, this is like the undercurrent, if not the overt message that some women are getting. And I hear from women who are either 60 plus, you know, and never had hormones, and they're like, they're devastated because they're getting this message and they're like, wow, it's too late. And now everything's going to be terrible until the end of time. I hear from women who have had breast cancer, who have clotting issues, or, you know, some contraindications, and they're all confused and scared. And I hear from women who don't feel symptomatic and don't necessarily want to start another thing in their life, but now they spend a lot of time worrying that they're making a grave error. And it's like, it's really a pickle. And, you know, honestly, so the thing that is really hard for me is like, I'll go to the Menopause Society meeting. I go every year and I sit there and it's long. It's like 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., like walls of information. And, you know, sure, there's a lot of promising research out there showing that it may have these protective effects. But then, like, literally, I sat in a presentation that says it was on ovarian hormones and cognitive health, the past and the future. And it concluded no evidence of long-term cardiovascular, metabolic, or cognitive benefits of HT, or any evidence to suggest adverse effects among women who have good cardiovascular health. It is still not approved for the primary or secondary prevention of heart disease. Then I follow Lisa Moscone, you know, who does all that cutting edge brain research, and there's a book coming out. She's been teasing some stuff, and she just released a multi-level meta-analysis, 6 million women worldwide, a giant, giant study, you know, and even with all of that, you know, she found timing matters. These are her words, not mine. Hormone therapy is most beneficial when started in midlife in response to menopause symptoms. Hormones matter. Estrogen-only therapy shows promising protective effects, while mixed results were seen with estrogen progestogen therapy. Takeaway, starting estrogen soon or during or soon after menopause could potentially cut down on the risk of Alzheimer's and dementia among eligible women. While these findings don't directly translate to clinical advice, they shout for more research. Those are her words. Like, so that's like, okay, it's promising, you know, it looks nice, but it's not like you're going to. And then I read some of the cardiovascular, you know, papers, and it's the same thing. It's like, sure, it's trending in a way that looks pretty good, but there's nothing that's saying like, my God, everybody needs to be on it or you're going to be sick. And I always think like women also need to in mind, like if I had a crystal ball, so I sit there and there's also very good evidence emerging that if you are highly symptomatic, especially vasomotor symptoms, right? Hot flashes and night sweats, those are being connected to higher risk for cardiovascular disease, white matter hypertensities in the brain, you know, which are a marker of dementia and cognitive decline. So it makes sense that for women who are symptomatic, I mean, I think that dot will be connected. right? That for women who are highly symptomatic, starting hormone therapy in that time could help prevent these things that they're at an increased risk for. That kind of like really makes a lot of sense in my mind. And when you put all the research together, you still have to look like a lot of women have uteruses. So all this estrogen, I'm like, okay, but you throw the progestogen in there and that we know that that's like that changes things. And yes, micronized progesterone, but there's a lot that studies have to sort out, you know, and everyone's banging the estrogen matters drum. And I had them on the show. They're lovely. They've done very important work. Carol Tavris never took hormone therapy. She's a co-author of the book. Yeah. You know, and yeah. I'm just like, anyway, that was a very long way of saying I agree with you. I'm sorry.
it's absolutely necessary. You said that and all of that. And I so agree with you. And it is, that's why it's so confusing, because we do hear it, or you dive into it yourself. And the conclusion that we get, and I hear the same thing, and I'm still stuck at the same point, is like you said, is okay, looks promising, but more research needs to be done. Like, doesn't every study like end with that? It was so frustrating. And
but it's going to be that way for a long time. Let's be clear. We are not going to have definitive answers. Maybe ever, because that's not how medical science works, you know? And there's too many variables. Like, we might have a very clear picture and a clearer picture for women. But, you know, when you consider all the ways you can use estrogen, all the dosages, all the receptors that are unique to women, add the progestogen or the progesterone, add patches, add creams, add IUDs, there's like a lot, add your personal risk, or there's just so much to sort through. I mean, it's no wonder that there's so much conflicting information.
Yeah, exactly. And when people read a study or look at some article, they're not really teasing out what all those variables are. Most women don't understand that there's progestogens and there's progesterone and there's, you know, different types and dosages and different mixtures and formulas and delivery methods. Especially when you're just starting out in this, it's huge, and you can be, it's already confusing to do that. But then when you try to go and make a conclusion, you don't really know those little other confounding factors. And that's why, you know, when I recommend people to see their doctor, please go see someone who's really trained in this and understands how to do it. And I mentioned to you earlier, I'm doing the menopause method training with the Institute of Bioidentical Medicine. And they are, after going through this, I'm halfway through, I no wonder doctors don't want to do this, because it's so time consuming and it's expensive and it's kind of complicated. It's not like you just, at least the way I'm learning it, you don't just throw one formula out at every single woman and just, you know, hope for the best. And it's not that way if you want to do this correctly. And I'm afraid that either doctors, you know, don't do it, and I can understand why, but then there's doctors who just, you know, throw this stuff
at women. Or just keep upping the dose, or just keep jacking it up, like, in, you know, like, yeah. Oh, not feeling anything? We'll turn it up. Like, maybe not. I'm not sure that's the answer, But yeah, I mean, and to your point, I hear a lot from women who, you know, and it is important that I think that we reiterate what you just said, is that it's not a set it and forget it situation where you necessarily get like this prescription and it works for everybody, because it doesn't. And it can take months, it can take 6 months, 8 months to dial it in, and it can change over time.
Yes.
You know, and I hear that a lot. And I don't think necessarily women are prepared for that either.
Exactly. Right. When you think that you found the perfect cocktail, well, your skin gets thinner, it's different, you're not absorbing it in your arms anymore.
And receptors might be changing.
Yeah, so much. And so, yeah, you think, oh, it's not working anymore. But again, that's, you know, it's kind of like the diet. You found the perfect diet for yourself and you go years and years or decades, and then suddenly it doesn't work. Well, yeah, that's the human body, and you have to be prepared for that. And I do think that women need to really dial into themselves if they're going to do some hormone therapy, because the doctor's there to try to help you. But you are the one who has to also help the doctor help you by understanding how are you feeling, and could it be related to the estrogen or progesterone or testosterone or whatever it is that they're giving them, and then communicate this to your doctor. And And then the doctor hopefully will be testing you in some way or another, analyzing, taking in the feedback that you give them, looking at some blood work, looking at some urine work, maybe asking you more questions. And it's a total tango and it takes a lot of time. And I'm just kind of figuring out that the way that the Institute has been teaching, this is a program for doctors. They say, well, you got to tell the client that or the patient that she needs to come in probably 3 times in a row with about a month or so spaced out. And if you're paying for a functional medicine doctor, that's hundreds of dollars each time. And I don't know how doctors are going to navigate this or the patients themselves, because that can cost a pretty penny. And then, you know, supposedly you get your formula and then I come back a year later. But then what if you need to do that dance again?
Well, and I'll also throw out this, and not that this is about this, but when you're talking about confusion, I mean, I sat at the Menopause Society meeting and there was a sort of AMA little section, you know, when they were talking about hormone therapy, and somebody asked about the Dutch test and literally the panel said no comment. Like nobody even talked about it because they're just like, you don't need that. That is useless. So, I mean, that's the message coming out of that society. And then you have this whole, and I sit there and I'm like, seriously? I mean, that's your answer? You're not even going to
comment? Really? Yeah, you should at least comment and have a debate and have a discussion about
like,
it.
They're all wrong. They're all just ignoramuses. Is that what you're saying? Like, is that true? So it doesn't surprise me. And I know we'll talk about this a little later, how things become tribal.
Absolutely. Actually, we can talk about that now because, you know, some of the people who've been listening, hopefully they've been watching these reels that I've been making, these 1 minute reels of menopause around the world, where I ask women of different cultures and socioeconomic levels and backgrounds about their menopause experience. And they're really popular. But the comments, the bickering, the confusion, it's really disheartening. And what really makes me sad is that women seem to literally drive their stick into one camp or the other. Like, they can be really judgmental based on very little information that they get in a 1 minute video. So, and I know they made this whole decision based on their own experience, and I know you're seeing the same in your social media communities. And I don't know what message you really want to share with women who is either watching or commenting like that.
For one, I want to say, I love those reels that you've been doing. I do really enjoy them.
Oh, thanks.
And it just, you know, like I asked you before you hit record, I'm like, so you just walk up to people on the street and just like, tell me, what's your age and how's menopause for you?
I get a lot of rejection, but I do, there are women who are happy to talk about it.
Yeah, and they see and it's clear. I mean, they're delightful. They are. And, you know, the one you just did recently that I really liked was that woman in her, I think she was 80. And it's sort of like what we were saying, like, about the hormone therapy discussion. She's done beautifully. She's had some rough times. You know, she got through it. She's thriving. It's lovely to see. And of course, there are women who are floored by the whole thing. And, you know, and that's real too. And I think it's important, like, we do not need to be threatened by each other's experiences. You know, we can learn from them or even just observe them without absorbing them, you know? And I think that is really, I wish more people could do that, especially even in my own group. Like, you see, like, if you don't agree with something or it doesn't register with you, it's okay to shrug and keep scrolling without reacting. I think that's better for your own mental health. You know, I'm not. And it's just grounded in what we all started with. Like, women have been overlooked, undertreated. They started a baseline of sort of like being agitated about that. You know, now they're in this big life transition, which is also can be quite agitating. So they're in this position of offense and defense kind of at the same time. And then they can get attached to something that they found. And maybe they did find it on the internet or whatever. And they believe they have found the answer and it works for them. And if someone comes up and puts on their own answers that is counter to that, it feels challenging. And, you know, and I kind of get that. So I try to keep things, you know, in my group, I'm like as non-negative as possible. I don't like false positivity, but I'm just like, it is okay that everyone has their own way up this mountain, you know, like, Even the own advice that I give, you know, and have given with Stacey, it is not the gospel of everything. You know, it works for a lot of women. We present the research we can, but there is nothing that is singular to every single person. You know, so just like take in for your own mental health, like don't get so attached to everything, to your own position. And if you are super attached to it, that's fine too. Just let other people be attached to theirs. You know, I think that's all okay.
That's really good advice. I really like that. And it reminds me of sometimes people comment, the first time I heard it, saw it, I liked it because it was, I can't remember, the reel was somebody who had a positive experience, because I share people positive, negative, whatever they say. And she said, oh, I'm happy for her. I didn't quite have the same experience. I'm struggling with this, this, and that. And I think that's a really healthy approach too. If you go, okay, you know, without really, you know, I have had people say that person's lying. That's not possible. This is BS. She forgot.
I've heard that too. Yeah. I'm like, no, I think that's actually her experience. You know, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay. That's what I think, that if we can just say that's okay. And vice versa, if I share somebody who's had a really horrible experience, you get women who say, oh, well, it's because she's not eating right and she doesn't exercise and she doesn't take care of herself. And of course, and she'll, you know, it's just, it's really sad. So if you see something that you don't resonate that, then fine. You say, well, I'm really sorry for her, but I think we have some solutions. This is what worked for me. And that's okay too. If you can't just keep scrolling.
Right.
So that's a really healthy approach. And I do want women, I want them to be united, not divided in this time. And I do think like you said, it is a transition, and so it's hard, and we can get emotional and attached to something based on, just because our hormones are going a little bit crazy.
There's and that too.
Yeah. And we can also step back before we hit comment, you know, maybe stop for a moment and go take a break, make a tea, and then come back. And if you really still feel like making a comment, then try to do it that way.
Also good advice.
Yeah, no, I really want women to be united.
This episode is sponsored by Oxford HealthSpan, the creators of my favorite supplement, Primadine. I admit it, I am a total supplement junkie, but if I had to choose only one, it would be this one. And it's because Primadine is spermidine, and this is shown to activate autophagy, which is super important. Now, this is a cellular cleanup and recycling process that declines as we age. So as we get older, our cells accumulate a lot of junk and waste, which isn't good for our cells, our health, nor our longevity. So we need to clean it up. And if you want the research on this, go to oxfordhealthspan.com and you can see all of it, showing how spermidine supports our brain, our hormones, and our heart health. And another great side effect is stronger hair, skin, and nails, but also longer eyelashes. But you know, the real important reason why I love Primadine is because I have never, ever received as much feedback on a product I recommended as I have with Primadine. Literally every week, someone reaches out to me on Facebook or Instagram with an amazing testimonial. And most of the time, it's about improved sleep. And even some of you told me it's reversed a bit of your gray hair too. So I find that totally amazing. So I can honestly say with 100% certainty that Primadine is the best spermidine supplement you'll ever find. And you can try it with a 15% discount by using the code Zora, Z-O-R-A, on oxfordhealthspan.com. Just be sure to get back to me with your results too. Now enjoy the show.
Tell me, what else are you seeing in your community in terms of other topics of confusion? Is there, because we always, the topic of HRT is so hot, but are there any other topics that women are being a little confused on?
Oh, Ozempic and Wegovy.
Yes.
Oh boy, the weight loss drugs. If there's another topic that you want to wade into that gets people heated in a hurry, like, boy, when that comes up, the knives come out on all sides. I'm working on a whole show on that because it's being, I don't know if you've seen it, but like the New York Times just did a piece, like, is this the new answer to menopausal weight gain? You know, I mean, now it's directly directed at our demographic. And I find that worrisome. And that is, if there's anything, that is actually probably the hottest button. I mean, people argue about the testing and the hormones a bit, but that comes into the chat and I have to turn off commenting almost every time at some point. It just gets too heated.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, that's, is it because some people have taken it and they have good results, others who just think it's the worst thing in the world? I mean, what is it?
Yeah.
I'm in your community and I haven't quite fallen on one of those yet.
Yeah. It's a confluence of things. You have women who, will say it's not for you because you only have a few pounds to lose, right? Like these drugs, because there are shortages of them and they're very expensive. So, I mean, the woman I'm talking to is actually the doctor I'm talking to for the show I'm doing is very distressed because she can't get it often for the patients who need it most. You know, it is a problem. And then you have women who still will call it sort of like cheating. And that triggers a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's you have the arguments like back and forth. Is it good? Is it bad? You know, I mean, it's all around weight. So weight is so charged anyway. So it just becomes becomes heated. Like often they can, and it'll go for a while, but then it almost always somebody will come in and just be an a-hole, quite honestly. They'll just start like being mean and I'm just like, that's the one rule. You know, I don't mind heated discussions. I don't mind passionate discussions, but you don't ever need to like insult people. It's just, you don't need to do it. To voice your opinion.
I think the same rule applies. Hold back, guys. You can just wait a moment. And comment with a little bit of kindness, I guess. And think about the other person on the other side. And we don't know what they're living. We don't know their story. We're not living in their shoes. So it's really, it would be nice to be a bit united, and just, you can question things as well. So Ozempic, yeah, those weight loss peptides, I can totally see, because it sounds like just like hormone therapy, in the sense that maybe there's not enough research, or there's not enough, that's even newer, obviously, than
long-term therapy, for people without diabetes. Like, you know, those studies are like, the earliest I found was 10 years, you know, I mean, that's not a lot of time. And that's not a giant population. We're just talking about studies, you know.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at millions of people.
Exactly. So yeah, again, hold your horses, guys. And see, I always think there's it's a really tough thing, though, if you're trying to decide to take, I don't know, Ozempic, because whatever reasons, or hormone therapy, and you're on this trajectory and you don't know, because research isn't there yet to make really conclusive statements, but yet you have this window of time.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
You get scared. You feel like you got to make these decisions, and that's really, really hard. So what would you say to somebody who is thinking about taking anything, you know, in terms of either the Ozempic or hormone therapy? How do they make these decisions for themselves?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I won't weigh in quite as much on Ozempic, because that's a rubric I haven't figured out in my mind. I mean, I do 100% feel like there is a time and a place for these drugs that is very important and powerful and meaningful, you know, and that should be done between you and your doctor. Losing, you know, I just read about a woman who died, you know, from the side effects, and she was just trying to lose like 20 pounds to get into her daughter's, like her mother of the bride dress kind of thing for a wedding. And like, that's just crushing. Like, I feel like, that makes me sad, you know? So I think we always need to remember these things are, they're drugs, you know, and they can have consequences. And it's just really important to remember that. Anyway, but like, as far as the hormone therapy, because I do think an awful lot about it, I spend a lot of time in my own head, you know, I find myself double or triple guessing myself every day, because, you know, I'm like, am I doing myself a disservice? But then I just go back to, there's so much you can know about yourself. You can know your cardiovascular risk. You can know your bone density. You can know your fracture risk. You can know how you feel. You know, I mean, like my moods have never been more stable. My blood pressure is great. You know, I have a hot flash now and then, but it's not disruptive. I mean, so you can, don't as a woman ever let anybody take away that agency from you of how you actually feel. You know, there's a lot of information you can have about everything, about your sleep, about your age, like and just look at the picture, you know, do you have joint pain? Do you have hot flashes? Do you have a lot of things that are disrupting you? I think if your life is being disrupted by the, you know, the menopause transition symptoms, 100% go talk about, you should not suffer. You shouldn't question in that respect. Work with your doctor, see if it is right for you. It's, you know, it looks like it's right for almost anybody at some, you know, at some degree, even people who have had breast cancer, as they're questioning, like, maybe. So talk to your doctor if your hormones are bad and there's markers of change that are not positive, definitely. But if you're doing well, the boat's steady, your health is good, you're exercising, because a lot of these studies aren't done on people who necessarily have taken care of themselves either. And that's a really important thing to take in. Like, there's a lot of ways to take care of your heart. There's a lot of ways to take care of your mental health. I had Sarah McKay, you know, on the show, who's also a neuroscientist. She's like, it's, you know, the hormones, sure, they're important, but they're just part of a chorus. And that chorus includes, you know, your diet and your exercise and your community. And we've talked about community before, which might be the most important thing of all, you know? So they just did I sat at the Menopause Society meeting too, and they had this amazing presentation on how strength training and high intensity training, you know, triggers the release of irisin, which is that wonderful hormone that crosses the blood barrier and is so good for your brain and reduces tangles, you know, and in the very next breath, like, one of the researchers said, but that's a lot of work. And I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
What? What? Oh, what did you just say? Like, that was amazing. You just talked about this woman who became a power lifter and her mom became a power lifter. Look at this study. And you're like, but that's a lot of work. Maybe we can find a pill. So I'm like, there's a lot of stuff you can do, but never let anybody tell you that you're not feeling what you're feeling, you know, and that, you know, trust yourself, tune into yourself.
Whether that's a good feeling or a bad feeling, right?
Totally.
Because you can imagine the woman who feels bad goes to a doctor and says, you're fine, your blood work is fine, or whatever it is, and dismiss their feelings, right? And how they are in their body.
Find another doctor. Say that all the time. If you are being dismissed, find another doctor. Like, life is too short for that.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's them. Find another doctor.
Exactly. I agree 100%. 100%.
Hey, I'm butting in for a quick second. If you enjoy the content brought to you in this podcast, consider supporting Hack My Age by becoming a patron on patreon.com. This is where you can drop a tip or become a member for the price of a coffee. Members get special material, free coaching, and private Zoom calls. Join us by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/hackmyage. Thanks for your support. Now let's get back to the podcast.
I do talk a lot about, because I meet a lot of women who say, well, I didn't go through menopause. I had no symptoms. Everything's fine. Like, and I tell them, well, actually you did go through menopause because you don't have a period. Right. And there are things that happen under the hood that you don't feel. And I still think you should take a look at it in terms of testing your bone density, looking at your cholesterol levels and your thyroid or insulin. Like, there's so much other than not just hormones, right?
And that was what part of that larger picture that I'm talking about of all the things we can know. And it is, like, to be menopause informed is to understand that your lipids can change and things can happen under the hood, as you say so well, that you may not feel. So it is important to do a full check, you know, like under the hood, over the top, like the whole thing. And get a real picture of it, you know, and then proceed accordingly. There's lots of ways. And if you can't take hormone therapy, and I see, you know, I see those distressed comments in a lot of the influencers' commentary when they're like, everybody should be on it. They're like, I can't. And now I feel terrible. Like, there are other things you can do. There's other things you can do for your bones, for your heart, for your brain. Don't ever feel like you're doomed. You're not.
Exactly. And another mantra I always say is you can't out hormone a bad diet and lifestyle. It's even if you're on the hormones, I really encourage women to still take care of all of the things that we know that are good for us. The exercise, the diet, the sleep, the stress management, your community, your friends, your purpose in life, all this stuff. It matters.
It matters a lot.
Yeah. Again, it's just not taking a pill or a cream and saying, okay, I'm safe. It's not quite that way. So I want to talk about a little bit. I know you always have some really cool event coming up, or maybe you have some news or a book coming out. I don't know. Is there anything that we should be aware of that you're doing or you'd like to share?
Let's see. What can I talk about? We just had our performance retreat, and that is always so much fun, at Dr. Vonda Wright's.
Yes.
And I think I'm
dying to go one day. It looks so fun.
So fun. It's such a good time. And it's so empowering. You know, the last day we have this DECA event, which I know everybody is like really nervous about, and it's non-competitive. We don't time it or anything, but it's, you know, it's a Spartan sort of related thing where you have all these stations on a field. It's an indoor field, and it's just like a sled push and box jumps and all kinds of burpees, all kinds of crazy things. And the women are always like really nervous about that. But it is every time it's the highlight of the weekend because they're just glowing afterwards because they've seen what they're what they can do and like how it feels is so cool. So yeah, that's, we just came back from that a couple of weeks ago, and I always leave pretty charged.
Wait, is there another one?
We will be planning another one, but it's usually in fall, so it's a while. Dr. Vonda Wright and I may or may not be cooking up something together, and you know, we'll see, in the form of written material, right?
Yes. I found Dr. Yeah. Vonda on your podcast and invited her to mine. So I'll have links to those, because she's just brilliant.
She's great. She is great. I am putting together a course, which is taking years off of my life, but it's, yeah, it'll be called Navigate Menopause. And it's like a lot of this discussion, just trying to help people, you know, make sense of what they're seeing and chart their own course.
Oh, I love that. Didn't even know. So that's perfect. Perfect. And you don't know when that's coming out?
It'll be coming out in February.
All right. Okay, guys. So stay tuned. Follow Celine. So I'm sure you'll be blasting it.
We'll be hinting and then blasting. I'm not speaking out of school. I've already talked about it on my own podcast.
Awesome. Okay. I totally missed that one. So, all right. I really do encourage women to follow your podcast, the Hit Not Play Pause podcast. And you also have a Facebook group, and I love your blog articles. I really love them with, you know, wait for them with anticipation.
Oh, thank you.
You just have a really good perspective. It's so real. And I absolutely trust the information that you share. And I know you have integrity, and that is so important for me.
It takes years off my life, Zora. So I appreciate you saying that. I really do. I mean, I take people listen, and they listen to you too. And you have to take that seriously. You know, you have to take that.
You do. You don't cut corners. You don't buy in. You don't sell your soul. At least everything I've seen is just done with absolute integrity. And so that's why I trust you. And I know you're doing absolutely your best for us. So, and I'm going to have links to your blog and the podcast and the show notes, but where else do you recommend women to find more help? Because they get a lot of information from you, but where else, what other resources or programs or things that you would recommend? That you can
trust.
Yeah,
it's there's a lot out there, right? And there's a lot of good. I mean, we talk about like iffy, but there's a lot of good information. I mean, I'm surprised at how well resourced even the big medical menopause associations, like genev.com, has some really nice resources on it. Just articles on pretty much everything that you would be interested in menopause. You know, they have a lot there. Healthywomen.org is a really nice source. MyMenopauseCenter.com is also, I've had Claire Spencer on the show, and she's really great. So I think anytime that someone is not hard selling you something to, you know, you have to, it's hard sometimes when you go on the internet and something looks like a great source, but then they have like 12 million supplements that they're really trying to sell you.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
to say that like the information's bad, but you always have to just look at it a little more carefully. But yeah, those are some places that I like.
Oh, fantastic. I'm going to have those in the show notes too, because I think we need as many resources as we can, but also the ones that we can trust. And I think that's a really good point is are they really trying to, you know, push you a lot of stuff? I mean, of course, everybody needs to make some money and make a living, but if it's just, that's the solution for everything.
If everything funnels back to a supplement, you have to be a little, you know, yeah. like if the end of every article is take all this, then you're like, okay. Yeah.
And I'm a supplement queen. I mean, I love supplements.
Oh, I take them too. Yeah.
But yeah. So it's again, more confusion. I think a lot of women are confused on that too. Is just, yeah, do I take the supplement? Not the supplement. Is it good? And is it bad? And again, you see it working for some people and not for others. And, you know, it's
funny because my brother is a FBI chemist. He is an explosive chemist and very, very high up there, but he hates medical science because we're not test tubes. Like, yeah. you know, in his world, when you add this and you add this, it does this, you know? And I'm like, we are not test tubes. Like, it just doesn't work that way.
It's so true. And it's like the whole biohacking mantra is we are all bio individual, right? And that's why the hormone therapy is different for everybody and the supplements are different and everything. You know, you may read one study, but, you know, does it apply to you? Who knows? You got to just do your own experiment, hopefully safely, and figure out if it's right for you, and knowing that things may or may not work out for you, right? So, all right, guys, I'm gonna have to let you go, but I want everyone to please follow the podcast, hit play, not pause. The book, I love Next Level, Your Guide to Kicking Ass, Feeling Great, and Crushing Goals Through Menopause and Beyond. That's the one you wrote with Dr. Stacey Sims, right?
And I'm remiss to say that Roar, it's for the, not necessarily the menopausal audience, but it's broad. That's coming out in January, the second revision of Roar.
Oh, awesome.
That I also did with Dr. Stacey Sims. Yep.
Oh, fantastic. When did you say that's coming out?
January 9th.
January 9th, the second edition. Awesome. Okay. Really good books. Highly, highly recommend those. Everybody can find you on your website, CelineYeager.contently.com. You're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'll have links to all of that. Your Facebook group, I think everybody should join that. You know the rules and how to behave, right?
I make it clear every week.
And you've got the Level Up membership. That's kind of fun. You're in there a lot too. That's the monthly membership. Is there anything else that we should be sharing?
Boy, I don't think I've missed anything. It's really here, but I think that's it.
Awesome. Well, if there's anything else, you just give it to me and I'll put it in the show notes. And before I let you go, do you have any last words for a woman going through the menopause transition?
Oh boy. Trust yourself. You know, you're going through a transition. I think the biggest thing I've learned, and I've been thinking about this a lot, you know, having spent time with a continuous glucose monitor and my Oura Ring and like all these things, and looking at research, we still, I think, underestimate stress and the impact of stress on us and on our physiology and on our menopause, on everything. It's, you know, stress is important. I liken it to the violin string. You know, without any stress, there's no music. With too much stress, the string snaps. You want that sweet spot of just enough stress where you can make music, but you're not snapping, you know? And I think that is like a really, really important lesson for midlife, menopause and beyond, because it really does impact your blood sugar and your blood pressure, all those things. It really, really does, you know? So you need to take care of yourself and have that restoration to balance out, you know, when the stress gets out of line. That's just so important. Give yourself time to just air out your mind away from social media, away from all of the information. Like, just let it breathe. Let your mind breathe outdoors. Lift weights. I can't get away from this conversation without telling women to lift. Muscle and strength make everything better. It is your metabolic 401k. And you know, it's going to be okay. Like, you're moving into a really powerful time of life, and transitions are always painful and hard. But I think that there's so much joy and I didn't think I would be sitting here looking forward to so much, but if you allow yourself to look forward instead of over your shoulder, like, there's just so much possibility.
Oh, you're so good at words. I can tell you're a professional. Thank you so much, Celine. I love it. You're such an inspiration, and I hope to have you on many, many more times.
Thank you. I appreciate you too. I enjoy the work you're doing.
Hey, did you enjoy the podcast? Don't forget to subscribe to be notified of all the new episodes and leave a review to help build the tribe. It's a small act of kindness that brings me big benefits and helps others find this amazing content. The best thing you can do is share. Sharing is caring. Statements made on this podcast have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Anything we say or products we mention are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Information provided by this podcast is not a substitute for personal medical advice and not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the personal research and experience of me and my guests.